8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. The good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend. What makes your list? Also, since we had the Academy Awards last night, we thought, okay, you're stranded on a deserted island. You only have one sports movie you can watch. Which one would it be? Major League for you, Bull Durham for me. Favorite maybe sport movie character?
Harry Doyle.
Love Harry Doyle.
Yeah.
Love Crash Davis, Owen Bull Durham.
He's good.
Steaming Willie Beeman.
Mm-hmm.
Bronco Sarge mentioning Jamie Foxx from Any Given Sunday. So send that to us as well.
There's a lot of characters from Major League that would be fun. You know, Lou Brown.
Lou Brown would be great.
Yeah. Can you hang on a second? I got a guy calling about some white walls. That'd be awesome.
Dorn! About Roger Dorn?
No. Nope. I would throw Roger Dorn into the ocean.
What about Willie Mays Hayes? Both versions. Snipes and Epps, right?
Snipes. I'd take the Snipes
version. Snipes, yeah. I agree. All right, so send that to us today. Let's see, Terry. Russell Crowe is perfect for Zeus as long as Zeus should look like John Goodman. North Dallas 40 or 8 seconds for my movie. 8 seconds was a really good movie. If you're not into bull riding.
That was a great movie.
Tough Hedeman.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the late Lane Frost.
Yeah, the late Luke Perry.
That's true, playing the late Lane Frost. Two guys that died far too young.
Yeah.
For different reasons.
Luke Perry's kid's a very good professional wrestler.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
But that's a really good film.
Mm-hmm.
It's Tough Hedeman's one of the Baldwin brothers, right?
I think it's Steven.
I think it is Steven that plays Tough Hedeman. It's a good film. I like that.
It was a really good movie. You're right.
North Dallas 40 got one.
Nick Nolte?
Nick Nolte's in that.
That was Stephen Baldwin, by the way.
Okay. And then the country singer. Can't remember his name right now. Last name is mine. Davis. Mac Davis. I think Mac Davis was in North Dallas 42, I believe.
I'm looking.
That was a good movie. I hadn't seen that in forever. I'm going to have to watch North Dallas 40.
Thank you,
Terry.
Mac with no K.
Mac with no K.
Cheesy Mac.
M-A-C.
Mac.
Oh, Unhinged. Thank you, Dom. Unhinged is the Russell Crowe movie I was talking about.
Uh-huh.
Where he's a road rage guy, and he's trying to kill this woman. He just goes absolutely berserk.
Now, do they write that around Russell Crowe, or did they cast Russell Crowe as that guy? That's the question, right?
I think that's a good question. How much of that was real Russell Crowe, real life incidents getting written into a film about Russell Crowe, playing a guy that, you know, fighting around the world? Remember that?
Yeah.
Was it Tugger or whatever?
Tugger.
His little tugboat from South Park.
Couldn't find cancer, so he beats up a person with cancer.
Fighting around the world. Yeah. Just fighting everybody that he ran into.
I'm Russell Crowe, and I'm fighting around the world.
I'm fighting around the world. All right.
That was such a good episode.
8:03. All right. Let's get to the latest in terms of what's going on with the NFL right now. Remember when we were kind of going, what's going on with the Chiefs? They cut Eric Fisher loose. Mike Remmers is gone, you know, because they lost both their tackles.
Yeah.
You know, in the AFC Championship game, and which turned out to be a devastating for the Chiefs in that Super Bowl loss to the Buccaneers.
Might have cost them the game.
Because they were able to constantly put pressure on Patrick Mahomes.
Without having to bring extra heat. Just 4 or 5 guys were able to get home a lot. Yeah.
And so we're thinking, okay, what are the Chiefs doing here? What's their plan? Well, their plan was to go out and actually make their offensive line better than it was before by yesterday getting Orlando Brown from the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm.
Trade that includes multiple draft picks, Chiefs first rounder in Thursday's draft. Chiefs also traded this year's first, third, and fourth picks, along with a 2022 fifth-round pick to the Ravens in exchange for Brown, a 2021 second-rounder. And so they get Brown, 2021 second-rounder, 2022 sixth-rounder. But you get Orlando Brown, who, oh, he's so long in the tooth, at the age of 24.
Right. Yeah, he's a guy that maybe came into the league a year too early. Just remember, we were talking about, oh, he's going to be great. He's going to be fantastic. And he's been solid, but I don't think he's quite lived up to the hype that he had this day of his draft class. Like, right 3 days before the first round. I don't think he's quite lived up to that hype, but he's been pretty good in Baltimore.
And, see, they had him playing right tackle in Baltimore. And that was where part of the issue was going on with the Ravens was that he wanted to move back to his position he played in college. He played left tackle. And the Ravens had him at right tackle. And so, you know, he wanted out. If they were not going to move him to left tackle, he wanted out. Wanted to go someplace else. And so the Ravens were able to accommodate him yesterday with that deal. Who makes out better here? Chiefs or Ravens? Ravens get quite a haul.
Yeah, they also gave up a second round pick with Orlando Brown.
Right. I mean, the sixth rounder, big deal.
Yeah. You know, but it's like the Chiefs moved up, I guess you could say they dropped back from 31 to wherever the Ravens are picking, what is it, 56 overall, 54 overall, right, somewhere around there. Right now it's a push, right? Because how many of those draft picks are going to make the squad? How many of those draft picks are going to be starters on their squad? Because it's they get a first, a third, and a fourth.
Right.
The Chiefs get a guy that's been in the league. They essentially used a first-round draft pick on a guy that's a three-year veteran.
That's got experience. Yeah. And now you're going to be able to move him back to his natural position, where maybe that was part of the problem, where he just didn't feel comfortable at right tackle. But
they sign a long brother, too?
Yes, they did. They, was it
Chris or Jay?
Kyle. They signed Kyle. So remember, they also added, they also brought in Joe Tuane.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
From the Patriots to play guard. And they're getting Laurent Duvernay-Tardif back. Remember, he opted out to stay in Canada to continue his work as a doctor there during COVID.
To use his day job.
Right. And Lucas Niang also opted out as well during the COVID impacted season of 2020. So you bring in Kyle Long at a guard spot.
Yeah.
Joe Tuane. At the other guard. And you still have Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who started for them in the Super Bowl win against San Francisco.
Isn't he right tackle?
Tardif?
I
thought he played guard. But I thought he played guard.
I'm sure he does.
But, you know, he played right guard. He was the right guard in the Super Bowl year.
Okay.
The year they won the Super Bowl. So you think about it, they had Brown. They also brought in Austin Blythe at the center spot. They did re-sign Mike Rimmers to that one-year deal. So Rimmers did come back to them. But that provides some depth. Not that, look, Rimmers is a punching bag. We know that. He got abused by the Broncos in Super Bowl 50 when he was with Carolina.
And then five years later. By Shaq Barrett again, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I think I started Rimmers. Yeah, Rimmers started in this last Super Bowl. I think I said he got hurt, but it was Fisher.
He started because Fisher
got hurt.
And the other guy got hurt, too.
Right.
Yeah, they both got hurt.
It was the other tackle I was thinking of that got hurt. Ooh, who was that? I don't remember who the other tackle was. But Rimmers stepped in to play in the Super Bowl for that other injured tackle. Like I said, the name escapes me right now. But look, Joe Tuane is an all-pro. They bring in Orlando Brown, who's young and just going to get better. Give the Chiefs credit for identifying what was a problem and what kept them from winning another Super Bowl. It was their offensive line play. It was absolutely devastating, that loss to the Buccaneers. So
Mitchell Schwartz. Yeah. I knew it was the Brown. I just couldn't remember which one.
So they've been doing some wheeling and dealing, man. And this Orlando Brown deal is a big deal.
Cut both of those guys the same day, I think.
Remember that? Yeah, it was a big shock that they cut both guys. Like, what are they going to do? What's their plan? What's wrong with the Chiefs?
Because you can't rely on Mike Remmers, obviously.
Give them credit for having a plan. And the plan was to go out and make a deal, bring in a Kyle Long, a Joe Tuane, and then you make this huge deal for Orlando Brown. I think right now, winner in this, it's Kansas City.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's a good deal for the Ravens. Don't get me wrong. I don't think like they got totally fleeced in this deal.
Mm-hmm.
But you're bringing in a guy moving back to his natural position with all the other things you've done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, your number one priority protecting the franchise, the man, Patrick Mahomes, you're making that wall in front of him a whole lot better than it was before. And they got a lot of depth now. Their depth is insane now on their offensive line.
Yeah, and it's not like the Ravens were particularly bad in the first place.
No.
And they're going to have some quality picks. They picked up three extra picks, essentially, in this year's draft from what they already had. So I think they have, what, nine or ten maybe now? And they're going to be able to throw bodies at some of their issues.
Because what was their biggest issue? It was their offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And now they'll pick the Chiefs, by the way, number 58.
Ah, that's close.
Yeah, you're in the neighborhood. Good job. You're in the neighborhood.
That's just a random guess, by the way, too.
So that was the big deal over the weekend, Orlando Brown and that trade going from the Ravens to the Kansas City Chiefs. And look, if you're a fan of the Broncos, you know, this is a team mm-hmm. that just has made itself a whole lot better
yeah.
with what they've been able to put together.
Patrick Mahomes is fortified like Fort Knox right now.
You know, and that's the thing. That's why a team like the Chiefs.
That's why they keep winning.
That's why they keep winning, because they figure out, hey, here's what we need to fix. And on the surface, you may go, well, why do they cut two guys that were guys that played well, Mitchell Schwartz, and Jake Fisher's a guy that they had, Eric Fisher, his brothers. Doesn't he have a brother?
Maybe. Yeah.
I think that was Jake Fisher.
I'll go with it. Yeah.
Eric Fisher. I'm sorry. Eric Fisher is what I meant to say.
Monday.
Yeah.
Late night last night.
Fisher's a guy that you drafted.
Padres went extras.
Yeah. Eric Fisher's a guy you drafted.
Yeah.
First round pick, if memory serves me correctly.
Top 10 pick, I think.
I believe so. And you were willing to walk away from him. And you go out and get a guy in Orlando Brown that's young and, you know, just maybe now is in a spot where he's going to feel more comfortable.
Eric Fisher was number one overall 2013 draft.
That's right.
He was the number one pick overall. And even then, we're like, really? From Directional Michigan? The wrong CMU?
Yes, the wrong ones?
But then, you're right, they cut them both. I think it was definitely the same week, absolutely. And you're like, what are they doing?
Because we said, why wouldn't you want those two guys back?
I mean, here we are 2 months later. It's like, oh, okay, now we know what they're doing. They're getting guys, instead of having to draft and develop and wonder, like a guy like Eric Fisher, because up until 2018, it was, is he up here with Mandarich levels of bust?
Right.
Robert Gallery bust offensive lineman. And then finally, the last 3 years, I think a lot of the Chiefs' success has helped him look better.
Right.
You know,
but he did get better, though.
He did get better. He's on the wrong side of 30. He was coming off an injury. Mitchell Schwartz, same deal. And so they're like, you know what? We're going to get younger and better at the same time, and a little cheaper, too, all at the same time by letting these two guys go. And they did that. It just took too much for
them
all to
come
together.
They made their line better.
Absolutely.
They made their offensive line, but they're deeper now.
Mm-hmm.
Just a smart move by the Chiefs.
Yeah.
It kills me to say that, but it's true.
The farther you can push Mike Remmers down the depth chart, the better you're going to be.
Absolutely.
Sorry, right. Mike.
Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Also caught this on Mile High Report that Mike Clay, that writes for ESPN, he put out the NFL unit grades heading into Thursday's draft. Where do you think that he has the Broncos defense ranked?
In the NFL?
In the NFL. With the moves that they've made.
On paper, I'm going
to say... Darby, Fuller.
Top six?
So you're just going to say top six. Not. That's fine. I mean, that's...
That's the neighborhood, I think. I'm going to say six or better. Let's put it that way.
Well, how about better? How about number one?
Really?
Has them ranked as the number one defense.
Yeah. I mean, they're...
The potential's there.
Absolutely. The potential is there, 100%.
Is that truth or fiction? that they're the best defense in the league right now on paper. We've talked about this. We both said, yeah, that's not a outlandish thing to say about the Broncos defense.
It's not like dystopian fiction, right? It's like an alternate history fiction where people and names and everything are still the same, but you drop in a fictional character into a book, right? That's what I'm thinking. He fights in World War II or something. Like, it's not egregiously wrong, but I'm not sure if I would put them at number one definitively on paper because we haven't seen him play. We don't know how it's going to work. That's me.
Once again, it's potentially.
I know.
The potential.
Know. That's me, though.
I agree. I want to see, you know, the proof is in what you actually do on the field, and we're still quite a ways away from that happening. But I
think top five is not at all outlandish.
But you don't think it's crazy to have them
number
one? No,
not at all. It's not one of those where I'm like, just what are you on? It's okay. For me, no, but I can see it. I guess it's, you know,
the only weak part of that defense that he refers to is the defensive line.
Yeah.
I guess if you're thinking about that, yeah, it probably is the weakest part of that unit, but it's not like it's terrible.
No, it's pretty
solid.
With
Draymond Jones, Mike Purcell coming back, Shelby Harris.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a bad unit at all. But I guess if you're thinking about the weakest part of it, it probably is that defensive front. But the Broncos in these rankings, they have the third worst ranking at quarterback behind the Jags and the Jets. So, good that the defense is highly regarded.
Yeah.
Offense, not so much. Matter of fact, offensively, they have the Broncos down around 28th, actually. 28th overall. The offensive rankings, you know, way down the list. Number one defense, 28th ranked offense, at least heading into Thursday's draft. Also, some cool news about Billy Thompson, longtime Bronco, great Ring of Famer, Broncos executive, that he will announce some of Denver's 20 and 21 draft picks.
Nice.
Coming up starting on Thursday, starting with, of course, the weekend draft. Also, there's, you know, we haven't really been diving into tons of mock drafts.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do that a little bit here for just a moment. That you have the mock draft picks out for Mel Kiper, the Gelman, and Todd McShay. So they have their three-round mock draft. So for Kiper has the Broncos taking Trey Lance. That's with the ninth pick.
Mm-hmm.
40th pick, Todd McShay has Asante Samuel Jr., the corner from Florida State. And then Kiper, 71st pick. Broncos taking Joseph Osei, the outside linebacker from Texas. So those are the McShay and Kiper projections, I should say. And then you also have the mock draft for one Peter King, Football Morning in America.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the Broncos taking Trey Lance. But here's the thing. But he also makes a comment in his article that he wouldn't be surprised to see the Broncos make a deal for Teddy Bridgewater. And that may be how they address competition in the quarterback room.
Mm-hmm.
More likely thing to happen. Bridgewater or Lance?
Bridgewater.
I think so, too.
I don't think Lance is there at 9. I just don't think he is. I think he's going to be gone. And if you caught Dan Patrick Friday, Ross Tucker filling in for Dan, had Charles Davis on talking about he thinks the perfect landing spot for Trey Lance is Atlanta. Because of what we talked about with Matt Ryan, a couple more years, you know, and it does both. It allows the new regime who feels like they can squeeze more juice out of Matt Ryan and appeases Arthur Blank, who wants to draft a young quarterback, Trey Lance can sit and get some seasoning and learn and watch Matt Ryan work for a year or two and not just thrown into the wolves after 15, 16 starts like a guy like Mitch Trubisky.
And Peter King also thinks, speaking of Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
that they're going to make some kind of move, but it may not be on draft day. That it may involve trading Julio Jones. You know, that trade would be effective June 2nd. look, Jones is 32, entering his 11th season. They could get somebody like he mentions John Gruden. John Gruden's the guy that can't resist a wide receiver, right? Remember Antonio Brown?
Yeah. Ruggs.
Ruggs. What if Julio Jones is available? I could see Gruden.
I could definitely
jumping
see
right
that.
In the middle yeah. of that.
And that's an Al Davis type deal too. You know,
bring me a veteran
we're
guy.
Throw the long ball. Yeah,
exactly. Add another vertical receiver for Derek Carr. Yeah, I could see that deal happening where they would be able to, the cap charge on him goes down by more than $15 million. So, they could take, offload his money and then split it between this year and next year. So they could, not have it be as big a hit in terms of their cap as it would be if they keep him on this roster.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Maybe that's a draft night move or something, but probably not. Probably going to be afterwards.
What's more surprising to you, that Asante Samuel or Patrick Surtain are both old enough to have juniors going in the draft this year? I didn't think Asante Samuel was old enough to have a junior that was draft eligible.
Surtain, yeah, okay, yeah. But not Asante Samuel. Yeah.
He's 40. He came into the league in 2003.
Just doesn't seem like he's been in the league that long, though, right?
2012, yeah. So almost a decade, really.
Yeah, Peter King also makes a reference, too, about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks the Niners are going to make him more available the days leading up to the draft. That they're going to see what they can get for Garoppolo.
Going to dangle him out there this week?
That maybe the Patriots, the Bill would want his guy back. He didn't want to send him to San Francisco to begin with. And that they may get Garoppolo back. That may be how they address the quarterback position. Because there's a belief that they're going to draft a quarterback. You know who the last quarterback the Patriots drafted in the first round was?
Was it Bledsoe?
Drew Bledsoe, 93.
Yeah.
The last quarterback they took in the first round.
I saw they haven't taken a quarterback higher than like 145 since. Like all of their quarterbacks have been like third, fourth rounders. I feel
or later in the case of Tom Brady. So
199 overall.
Yeah. All right, 823. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Text or call us today. If you're stuck on a deserted island, which sports movie would you want to have with you? Mm-hmm. Also, maybe your favorite sports movie character. We thought because of the Academy Awards last night, working kind of a movie theme today.
Yeah,
for one of our questions. Also, it is Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. Mm-hmm. So make
sure.
We got
good call, bad call coming up too, don't we?
Got good call, bad call coming up as well.
Got a lot of snark for good call, bad call.
Also, a quick reminder too that start thinking about your whiner of the week, because on Friday, we're going to pick the Whiner of the Week with Talon Winery. So somebody in the world of sports, you're going to submit to us, and then Friday we will pick the Whiner of the Week to get a bottle of Talon Wine from Talon Winery. All right, 8:23, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Colorado Sports Leader.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the Team.
Welcome back. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Stuck on a deserted island, you could only have one sports movie to watch. Which one would it be? Maybe also your favorite character from a sports film as well. Since we had the Academy Awards last night, do a little movie theme question today, along with, of course, the good, the bad, the ugly. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. Dom. Henry Rowengardner, Rookie of the Year.
Oh, the old Reuben Grader, yeah. Or whatever the manager would keep calling him.
Injured the arm, or what, he broke the arm?
He broke his arm.
Yeah, and then he could come back and came as a kid and was throwing 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Let's see. Was it Gary Busey, like the veteran pitcher?
Yes, he was. He was like the Goose Gossage type veteran pitcher guy. Daniel Stern in that movie, too.
Yeah. Stern was with him. He was the manager, wasn't he, or an assistant coach?
He was the pitching coach,
I think. Yes, pitching coach, yeah. And he was good in that. From Dylan the Good, UFC 261 with a full crowd of fans and great fights. Glad the Rockies won a series. Also, I'm seeing that the Avs okay the Blues tonight at 5 o'clock. Don't know how true that is. That was the Avs and Vegas Golden Knights tonight.
I thought it was, too.
Double check that. Double checking that. It's got the Blues. So
Blues at 5 o'clock.
That's right, because they had...
Oh, they moved those games around.
They moved the games around. So a correction on that. We'll have the Avs and the Blues at 5 tonight.
Nah, I suck.
That's okay. Avs and Blues at actually 4:30 today.
Ah, I suck.
With face-off around 5. Thank you. Yeah, because they changed it because of all the COVID.
And then they play the Knights at 7 o'clock. No, I'm just kidding.
No. They're going to play a doubleheader?
Yeah.
Doubleheader
hockey.
Switch
off for periods.
Yeah. So the Vegas Golden Knights are going to fly to St. Louis and play the Avalanche after they play the Blues.
Yep.
Okay. Sure.
My bad. No.
It's okay. Yeah. That's all right.
I'm a dumbass.
Get that straightened out.
Yep.
4:30 pregame today for that one. Thank you. Appreciate Dylan the heads up on that. That is true. Yes, they are playing the Blues.
And 261. Oh, that was incredibly a violent night. I know it's the human cage fighting, right? But man alive, with a broken leg, the other guy with the bad leg, and then the Masvidal knockout. Ooh. Yikes.
Got one from Buffalo Mark this morning. I can't stop texting.
I know.
Because he's like a high school girl.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Did you see? Did you see who they're going to take it?
Oh, number five. Nick saving a sound check. Hard eyes emoji. Hard eyes emoji.
Is Big Lebowski a sports film? No. No, it's not. It's got a little bit of bowling in it. That doesn't make it a sports film. I mean, come on, really? Would you? I don't think it would be. Friday Night Lights. You'll take that. I love The Big Lebowski. It's a great movie. It's not a sports film. So, Friday Night Lights, Billy Bob Thornton, Lucas Black. Very good, Mark. See, Sonny, Sandlot, funny baseball kids, dogs, Babe Ruth sign ball, s'mores. It's got it all. Sandlot is a really good movie.
That's a good movie, yeah.
It's a really good flick. All right.
But Big Lebowski, I mean, it's not a sports movie unless Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
Don't start that today. Don't start that stuff with Die Hard. I have become more agreeable to the idea of Die Hard being a Christmas film. Mm-hmm. I'm still not there, though.
It's actually more Christmas than Lebowski is sports, I think.
I mean, just because there's some scenes at a bowling alley doesn't make it a sports movie.
Exactly. But Die Hard is at least around a Christmas party. With no Christmas party, there's no hostages. They can just rob the building and be gone. It's a sitcom, 22 minutes.
Then a movie that originally Frank Sinatra was going to play John McClane.
I'm so glad that didn't happen.
Gosh.
Because you know there'd be like two singing numbers. And Bruce Willis has his own song.
Yeah, he has his own song. All right, who do we have here on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line?
This is Sam. He wants to weigh in on sports movie, but not our friend Sam from Fruta. Different Sam.
Different Sam. Sam, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing fine. What's on your mind today, Sam?
Oh, I'm thinking about talking about they had the best sports movie.
All right. If you were stuck on a deserted island, which would be the one? You can only have one sports film. Which one would it be?
The correct answer is The Hoosiers.
Hoosiers is a great movie.
That is a great movie. And if you have an NBA team that creates their jerseys after it for Hickory, then
yeah,
that's true.
That would be the best.
That's true. Yeah, Pacers did that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have a favorite character? Is it maybe Gene Hackman in that as the coach or
no, Dennis Hopper? Jimmy. That's always got to be Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Chitwood, yeah.
Going to run the picket fence. Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's the best one. Remember, the Titans is a close second, but.
All right. Very good. I like that. Yeah, Hoosier's a great film. That's a great suggestion. Sam, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in today. Thanks for listening.
Absolutely. Take care.
Oh, you take care. Yeah, I love Hoosiers. That's a great movie.
Remember the Titans? A good one, too.
Excellent film. All right, so we have the draft coming up on Thursday, first round of the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
And the Denver Post, we'll have to get Kyle Newman back on with us. He wrote a piece about the best and worst draft picks in Broncos history. We did a little on this Friday.
Yeah.
In terms of, because The Athletic had a big piece about the worst draft pick ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Jamarcus Russell of the Oakland Raiders. So he's got best, worst, and you look across all the different lists for the Broncos all time, it's Ted Gregory, the former Syracuse defensive tackle, that they didn't really get a chance to see him up close and personal. He came in way shorter and way smaller than what they thought he was at Syracuse. They ended up trading him to New Orleans. He played three games. He never played a game for the Broncos because he blew out his knees. His knees were already bad, and he blew out his knee during training camp with the Broncos. So they end up sending him to the Saints. He played three games, and then he was done.
Yep.
But Kyle Newman's put together his best and worst first-round picks in franchise history. Start out with the best.
That one's really easy.
Von Miller.
Yes.
Second overall.
Vonnie Football.
2011. You know, three-time All-Pro, eight-time Pro Bowler. Holds the team record in sacks. Super Bowl 50 MVP.
Mm.
He's going to be going to Canton someday. Floyd Little. Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Who sadly we lost back in January. Had 6,323 rushing yards, 43 touchdowns over nine seasons. He was the original face of the franchise. Before there was Elway, before there was the Orange Crush defense.
It was Floyd.
It was Floyd Little. Randy Gratishar should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's a damn travesty that he's not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. All Buckeyes should be in the Hall of Fame.
No. Just the ones that excelled at the NFL level. Not all of them should be in the... What? All?
So a third of them.
So Tom Tupa should be in the Hall of Fame?
He excelled at the NFL level, just not at the position he played in college. That's all.
He was a good punter. It wasn't like he was Ray Guy. Let's pump the brakes. He was versatile. He was a Swiss Army knife. Because he could play quarterback.
Better than I was, so I mean,
well,
you know.
Same here. But Randy Gratishar, seven Pro Bowls, two All-Pro selections, 78 AP Defensive Rookie of the Year. Guy that was really who they built that defense around.
Yeah, he was the man.
Steve Atwater was 20th in 89.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be, he's already, well, would have went in last year.
Got his jacket a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but will officially be inducted this summer into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. Eight-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro. John Mobley out of Kutztown.
You forget about John Mobley. At least I do. I'm not a, you know, Broncos historian, but you forget how good he was until someone brings it up.
He started both Super Bowls, 32 and 33, All-Pro.
97.
And he references Al Wilson. Man, hard to ignore Al Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
But Mobley was good, and you forget about him, right?
Just got to
forget
about
him. Because you think about those years, it was Smith and McCaffrey and Elway and mm-hmm. TD.
And well, he started at linebacker in a Super Bowl his second and third year in the league.
Yeah. That's pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have the worst ones. And this is the first one they have is the worst because he never played for Denver. But what a difference maker he would have been if he would have played for Denver. And one of the members of the Fearsome Foursome, Merlin Olsen.
Yep.
They selected him second overall in the 1962 AFL draft. One of several first-round picks who never played for the Broncos. Had a Hall of Fame career at the Rams. Also went on to be an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Went on to, of course, with Dick Enberg, team on a lot of the AFC broadcasts on NBC. But, played 15 seasons, Pro Bowler, 14 of the 15 years. Bob Brown, number four, 1964 out of Nebraska. Another guy that chose to play in the NFL. Hall of Fame right tackle, five-time All-Pro. Tim Tebow.
Timmy!
Brian Zanders. Remember when Brian Zanders was the GM in Denver?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Drafting. Of course, they drafted Demaryius Thomas that year in the first round. Then they drafted Tim Tebow. Led the Broncos to the overtime wild card win against Pittsburgh. Denver gets some dude named Peyton Manning. And then Timmy's off to the Jets.
Yeah.
Then he's off to the Mets. And now he's done with both.
Hey, you had to stop with the Patriots in there. Let's not
forget
that.
I'm sorry. Did he ever play in a game for them, though?
I don't think
so. I think he got cut in the preseason.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's because he couldn't play football very well at the NFL level.
Marcus Nash, we talked about him a lot the other day, among the worst picks. Took him 30th out of Tennessee in 98.
Okay. I remember.
Never caught a touchdown when he was in Denver. Four catches, 76 yards in 10 games. And then, who can forget Paxton Lynch? I would like to. Most of us would. That they traded up to get him. And like we said the other day, that not all these bad picks, good picks, or all the bad picks are the same. When you trade it up and you're trying to get your guy at quarterback, you're trying to solve. You lost Osweiler, who went to Houston as a free agent. You're trying to fill the void after Peyton Manning, and you moved up to get this guy.
Yeah,
and you kind of pinned your hopes on his development.
See,
Tebow.
That's
a huge, huge miss.
Yeah, Tebow and Lynch are bad draft picks. Olsen and Brown are wasted draft picks. So that's two different things.
Yeah, just didn't sign with you. Yeah,
because they can't be the worst draft picks. Because one, you picked them as an AFL team. They chose the NFL. There's nothing you can do about that.
Right.
But look at how they turned out. They're both Hall of Famers.
They would have been great. They were great picks that just sadly did not sign with Denver.
They didn't play. They played in the other league. I don't know how they can be wasted picks, absolutely. But as the worst, I don't know. Because you saw
bad.
It. You're like,
I guess bad that you drafted guys you really didn't have a great chance of signing.
But that's the risk you run when you're in two different leagues, right?
Sure.
I wouldn't say they were bad.
I agree with you. Yeah.
They're wasted.
Yep.
It's different.
Guys that turned into Hall of Fame caliber players.
Yeah.
So
they could have been for you.
So, yeah, your research, your information was right. Mm-hmm. Those were the right guys to choose.
Yeah.
Just didn't have enough money in the coffers.
They didn't play for your league. That's all.
That's it. Simple as that. All right, 842. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller. Chevrolet Buick Studios, most trusted name in automobiles. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Good call, bad call coming up next. Still, once your movie, if you're stuck on a deserted island, which sports movie would you have there with you? The only one. You only get to choose one. And maybe your favorite sports role. Let's see. Yeah, Dick Butkus was a Bronco draft pick. That's from Terry this morning.
That's true. He was.
Let's see. I went from Steve. Come on. Caddyshack is only movie that you can watch 100 times, and it really doesn't have a plot. You're right.
That's true.
Terry, really? You're going to watch it because it's got nudity? Oh, Terry. Terry.
That's Steve.
I mean, sorry. Steve. Excuse me. Not Terry. Steve.
Terry is a much classier texter.
Sorry, Terry.
Than Steve.
Steve.
Steve, come on.
Steve. Steve and his way he would use that particular movie. Steve. Paul's picking Ladybugs, our former colleague.
Soccer
really? Movie. Ladybugs?
If you're going to pick a Dangerfield movie, at least pick Caddyshack.
What about Back to School?
Well, it's not a sports movie.
Well, hold it. Remember, his kid's a diver. And there's the big diving scene with Rodney Dangerfield. Remember, he used to dive off the pier at Coney Island.
Uh-huh.
And he's on the swim team. He's on the swim team with his kid.
Couple decent bowling scenes in the Big Lebowski.
But the majority of that film is about him being on the swim team.
I don't know.
To stay eligible. Back to School's way... It actually fits the category of being a sports movie because a good chunk of it is about him on the swim team. Lebowski's
third best sports movie. It's Rodney Dangerfield's third best sports movie.
A guy that you would never associate with being in great sports movies would be that guy, Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
Ladybug's okay. Good morning, Paul. Good to hear from you. Gridiron Gang from Dom. With The Rock, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever... Actually, I'll be honest. I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
I haven't either.
Yeah. So I can't... It's about football.
Yeah.
So,
as
yes.
It turns out, The Rock's movies are very popular, but none of them are actually very good. It's all The Rock just beating up people. Or Godzilla or something.
I mean, what? You mean Rampage?
Yeah. Whatever. I mean... Walking Tall, he's beating up people, you know, in Fast and the Furious movies, he's beating up people. Those aren't very good.
How surprised are you that we have as many Fast and the Furious films as we do?
I'm shocked.
But that series has lasted as long as it has.
They didn't have enough plot to fill the first one. They had to have the informant twist at the end, right? Or with Paul Walker. Spoiler alert.
I got to admit... I saw the first one. That's it.
I saw five, I think.
I'm so far behind on the Fast and the Furious franchises. Yeah. I'm not even going to try to catch up.
I think they're adding John Cena to Fast 15.
Yes, he is. He's going to be the next one. 25. Yeah. He'll be in the next one.
They're not even in order. Like, Tokyo Drift takes place after like four, I guess, in the canon. It's a mess.
And it's not
don't do drugs,
and it's not really any of the main people like Vin Diesel. It was like Lucas Black.
Yeah. And like Ludacris.
Yeah, but it wasn't anybody else from the original film.
It's like Rogue One in the Star Wars universe.
It's connected, but it's not any of the people that were actually in the
tenuous.
First. Exactly.
Yeah. But I'm very surprised because
transcendental or whatever?
Tangential.
Tangential.
Wordsmith.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm surprised they got two out of it because the first one, the plot kind of runs out about 25 minutes in. It would have been a very good one-hour movie on TNT.
But they managed to turn this thing into what now, 10?
There's 9 or 10, yeah.
I think this next one's the 10th one, I believe.
And here's the thing. They're all the bad guys. They're like stealing stuff and car chases and causing chaos on the highways. And we're supposed to root for these people. They're all the bad guys. And everybody's like rooting against The Rock in the first one, right? Because he's the cop that comes in.
Right.
He's the good guy. He's trying to stop all this felonious activity. I could go on and on about this. It's such a mess. The whole
I can't believe they found enough to make, you know, 9-10 films out of this whole thing.
Here's the guy wearing police trying to stop the thieving. Boo. Like, really?
He's law enforcement. He's trying to, his job.
Come on.
8:47. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Good call, bad call. That's on the way. And the Jim Davis Show on the team, Colorado Sports Leader.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 850. Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Academy Awards were last night, so I thought, hey, what if you're stuck on a deserted island and you can only have one sports movie to watch? Which one would it be for you? Buckeye's got Major League. I've got Bull Durham. We also talked about favorite sports character in a film. Like a Crash Davis. Like a Harry Doyle in Major League. So send those to us today. Text or call us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. Coming up at the top of next hour, Ryan Edwards, Broncos Country tonight, 850 KOA. Talking a little draft. Also, Eric Horner, the coach of Johnson County Community College. They're hoping to be in Grand Junction for the Junior College World Series coming up on Memorial Day weekend. We'll have that coming up next hour on the program. All right, 8:51, and it's time for...
Was that a good call, or did they totally blow it? It's good call or bad call.
All right, start out with Kim Mulkey. Legendary women's basketball coach at Baylor.
Yes.
She's leaving to go to LSU. And there are people saying that at Baylor, they need to erect a statue to Kim Mulkey because of everything that, that she's done there. Sure, 12 Big 12 championships, won three national titles, only twice lost double-digit games in a season, never had fewer than 20 wins in a season. Took over the program in 2000. She's done some amazing things. Is that a resume good enough to get you a statue, even though you're leaving the program?
Yeah, but I wouldn't until she retires. Because if...
Totally agree with that.
If LSU beats Baylor in the tournament once or twice, in a Final Four maybe here down the road, you ain't going to like looking at that statue for a few days. So it's a good call to put up the statue, but a bad call to do it. She's
58,
beating a path out of town.
Wait until she calls it a career.
At LSU, you may have to shut down sports at some point. So that's not a good call on her part to go to LSU. Yikes.
All right, what do you have?
Instead of trying to get baseball umpires to be better, let's go the other way.
Okay.
Based on mood, players' experience, and general persnicketiness, let's have basketball officials vary the height of the buckets, or football refs can vary the yards needed for first downs. Then let's see how many people like the human element of officiating. I think that's a good call. Let's just screw with everybody.
Well, the strike zone's different for a rookie than it is a veteran guy. And some guys like to call him off a couple of inches
Mac
off the
Jones,
corner.
Jones, you're a rookie. You got to get 14 yards for a first down.
That's a fair thing to say that's ridiculous. You don't change the height of the bucket. You don't change how far you have to go to get a first down.
John Morant, your number two pick, huh?
Yeah.
Let's see you dunk on this 12-foot rim.
Exactly. Let's see you go see how good your hops are, buddy.
See how we like the human element at that point.
All right. We have the Fernando Tatis Jr., Trevor Bauer.
Showdown
this weekend where you had Tatis pipping a home run with the one eye open thing, because sometimes Bauer looks like he's pitching with just one eye open. And he said it was Tatis has some payback previously. So, good call or bad call on the part of Trevor Bauer to go, I liked him pipping the home runs. I think it's good for the game. He's got showing emotion. He says, pitchers who have that done to them and react by throwing at people or getting upset and hitting people or whatever, I think it's pretty soft. If you give up a homer, a guy should celebrate. It's hard to hit in the big leagues.
That's a great call. If you let somebody hit the ball as far as Tatis did, you get to say nothing about how he celebrates.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to go out and hit the guy the next time or hit the next batter. It's stupid.
Also pretty baller that Tatis hit two jacks on the same day in the same stadium. His dad hit two grand slams in an inning.
Not bad.
That's pretty cool.
Got anything?
Nope.
Okay. Next hour, Ryan Edwards from Broncos Country tonight, 850 KOA. We'll talk draft. Also, Eric Horner from Johnson County from their baseball program will join us next hour.